Welcome, everyone. This is Ed Puskas, Vindicator Sports Editor. Thanks for joining us on the Blitz Show. We're going to talk a little bit of YSU football in the FCS National Championship game. First championship appearance for the Penguins since 1999, and only the third playoff appearance for them since that 99 season. We're going to talk with our beat writer, Charles Grove, who's been following the Penguins all season, and we'll be leaving on Friday afternoon for Frisco, Texas. Charles, take us through how YSU got to this point this season, and what went into this run from a team that, you know, at midseason didn't appear to have this in them.
Yeah, it seems like it's straight out of a movie. It's a team that couldn't find anything that worked on offense. They kind of seemed like the team that was more likely to run it into their own end zone than the end zone they were trying to score in. But when they finally got real healthy on the offensive line, they had one or two issues, nothing like last year. Once they finally got that settled and they got Hunter Wells a few weeks of development when he knew he was going to be the guy, that's really been the major key for them. Hunter told me a few times during fall camp when he was sort of struggling, he was really up in his head. He was thinking his career was over. He had no idea where he was going to go. But once he's got that confidence, you can kind of tell when he's out there, he's really playing with it.
It seems really unusual for a team that was as unsettled at the quarterback position as YSU has been this year, you know, because of, you know, an incumbent quarterback, you know, losing the job in training camp, other guys coming in, then injuries and everything that happened at that position. How unusual is it for a team with that many issues at quarterback to settle on a guy who was at one point their fourth guy at midseason and make a run like this?
It was especially unusual right from the start because offensive coordinator Shane Montgomery said he's never had a fall camp where he's had to split snaps between four different guys, and he had to make the cuts from there, and it was quite a challenge just trying to get everybody a fair number of snaps so that not only they had a chance, but he knew what they had to offer. So it's been a struggle right from the very beginning. Their hands got forced a little bit with some of the injuries. Ricky Davis, you know, when he's out with concussions, you can't play him. And then when you the Northern Iowa game, you've got Nathan Mays as the only other person dressed. So that was the game where Montgomery had to run right down from the press box and do the hand signals right from the sideline. So they've had their hands forced a few times, but they're really solid with what they've got right now.
How critical do you think it was when it seemed like at the end of the season, the end of the regular season, the last couple of weeks, and then going into the playoffs, they really kind of committed to the run game, with the tailbacks. How big a switch was that, and how do you think that affected Wells in terms of, you know, play action, being able to throw downfield, opening things up a little bit?
Right. He likes he likes being the guy when he needs to be. He's told me that a few times. When he needs to be the guy, he's more than willing to be the guy. But when he's got that run game of Jody Webb, Tevin McCaster now, even Joe Alessi on occasion, it's a huge, huge help to them. And they've been so deep. That was one of the first things I noticed in fall camp. The running back position, they were given time to like 7-8 different guys. I mean, they were absolutely loaded in that spot, and it's really helped them.
It seems to me that this team reminds me a lot of the 97 Penguins who won the national championship, entered the tournament as an at-large bid. They were third in their conference, and nobody really expected anything of them, you know, at 8-8-3 coming into the playoffs, and then they pull off a couple upsets, a couple big comebacks. They win the semifinal against Eastern Washington on the road, and really did it with a defense that got after the quarterback with Harry Delagianis, who I think at one time was YSU's all-time sack leader. Mike Stanek at linebacker, some opportunistic guys in the secondary. But the other thing that reminds me of this team is that Demond Tidwell, you know, they had an unsettled quarterback situation, two guys splitting snaps, and then Tidwell took over late in the regular season and just kind of played mistake-free football the rest of the way, you know, with a good running game, picking his spots. And it seemed like a team that, it was the last Tressel championship, but, you know, Tressel always said, we want our quarterbacks to – we don't ask them to win the game for us, but we don't want them to lose it either. And it seems like a game manager type of guy Tidwell was, and they won the national championship, I think, 10-9 against McNeese State, defense all the way. Now, this team has a little more firepower, it seems, than that team did, but I do see some similarities there.
I'll take your word for it on the 97 team since I was in second grade when that happened. But yeah, this is a team that finished third in the Missouri Valley Conference. They lost pretty handily to the top two teams. People thought this was a good team, but maybe not a national championship team yet, or maybe the pieces just weren't quite there at this point. But yeah, they had to go to Eastern Washington the hard way out west in the cold and win it there. If that's what the 97 team was like, they're pretty similar.
One thing, like I mentioned, that they shared was that the pressure up front and ability to get after the quarterback and stop the run. YSU really has maybe the best defensive end combination in the country, certainly in FCS, with Derek Rivers and Avery Moss. Tell me a little bit about those two and what they do for this team.
Yeah, they're so balanced because as I spoke to them the other day, you see a lot of NFL defensive ends. Like, I know Jadeveon Clowney and Mario Williams were kind of suspect to this, where they would just always go after the quarterback every time and teams could kind of run at them and get right around them. But those two guys are really able to pick their spots correctly, you know, when to go after the quarterback, when to kind of play back and play the run. And they give a lot of credit to the defensive tackles, too, because those are the guys that are sometimes eating the double teams up front when a team's trying to run straight ahead. And when either Derek or Avery are getting the double teams, those guys in the defensive tackles positions are making do when they're getting single coverage. So it's the defensive line, the whole straight away is really fantastic, but it does start on the defensive at the ends with Avery and Derek.
Now Moss has had an injury issue. Where is he at right now, and is he going to be 100%?
He's looked fine. He looked fine the first practice right after their 10-day break, and yesterday he looked just fine as well. He seemed 100% to me.
Well, let's take a look at those the four playoff games they've won so far, and as a side note. I believe no FCS team has ever won five playoff games. Now, back in the day, they didn't have to play five because it was a 16-team field. Now it's 24, and YSU did not get a first-round bye because they were an unseeded team. So they've won four so far. Let's run through Samford, Jacksonville State, Wofford, and Eastern Washington. Tell me, just encapsulate a little bit in each game what the key was.
Samford was just kind of keeping everything rolling. That was the very first game. They had just gotten off of putting a real whooping on Missouri State. That was kind of when Hunter Wells was really sort of breaking out there. So them just kind of keeping their momentum going, that's what really kind of carried them to that first win. The Jacksonville State game really surprised a lot of people, myself included, because they made the Gamescock offense so one-dimensional. The Jacksonville State quarterback, Eli, I forget his last name, I think only completed like six passes or something like that. He was forced to run and was effective in running, but if you're going to play one-dimensional against Youngstown State's defense, they're going to figure out eventually, they're going to get some stops, and that's kind of what happened there. And then it was Hunter Wells just throwing all over their secondary and one-on-one matchups. Wofford, that's just sort of a tricky oddball game because no team is really all that up to date on how to stop a triple option attack when you've never seen it all year. That was just sort of a wild game. They had to make do with a bunch of mistakes, the special teams game especially. It was just sort of you kind of have to have, if you're going to win a bunch of games in a row in one game scenarios, you kind of have to have that one oddball sort of win where you kind of overcome some adversity, and that was what they did there. And Eastern Washington, team or fans always, you know, get on coaches about halftime adjustments. When are you making halftime adjustments? This coach never makes a halftime adjustment. But the secondary and defensively for Youngstown State with the best passing attack throwing all over them in that first half, what they did to limit Eastern Washington from being able to throw in that second half was really the key in that game.
Yeah, it seemed like the time of possession was really critical in that. YSU extended their drives the second half. You know, long drives, 80 yards, you know, 7, 8, 9 minute possessions, and really turned out to be the best way to keep Eastern Washington off the field.
Yeah, I think the Eagles had it for like 6 minutes in the third or the second or something like 8 minutes. It was just a ridiculous disparity that you never really see.
Well, let's look at James Madison a little bit. We haven't talked about YSU's opponent Saturday in Frisco, Texas. James Madison is a team that almost mirrors YSU in that they're huge up front. They like to run the ball, control the game with a power running attack. They pick their spots with the passing game. They destroyed Sam Houston State, put 65 on them, and then went to North Dakota State and beat the five-time defending champs.
Yeah, if you're going to do it like the movie cliche here, where Youngstown State's the scrappy team that wasn't supposed to be there, this is kind of the big bad team that you sort of have to face in the final. That they're a really, really balanced offensive attack. They rush just a little bit more than they pass, but Youngstown State had to beat the best passing attack in Eastern Washington in the semifinals, and Khalid Abdullah is probably the best running back in FCS. He's got a buttload of yards, tons of touchdowns, and he's going to be the main objective to stop.
Is there a way, to make them one-dimensional, as YSU did with a couple of different teams in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think if you're able to get good play out of your linebacker spots and make sure that they're able to stop the run, that's going to be a big key. YSU's been really in a good spot for a lot of these games because they don't really have to load the box to stop the run. You don't have to bring the safeties or the corners in to really stop the run. And if they're able to do that again, then I think they'll be in a good spot.
Now, before we make a prediction on this game, I want to give a little credit to Bo Pelini and his coaching staff, because this team has had some adversity, some injuries, some suspensions, some players that have been critical components of this team, throughout the season aren't going to play, didn't play the last game. And yet Pelini and his staff have guided them through all these things and produced a playoff run that none of us saw coming.
Yeah, and what he's been able to do with those players that aren't going to play in this game, they're still there every day. They're just as much as leaders from a practice perspective as anybody else who's starting. They're on the scout teams, but they're making sure they're talking one-on-one with the players that are going to be filling their roles, saying, here, this is what you need to look for in this set. Make sure to look out for this. So that's kind of been a big thing. A lot of people have really bought in. The players themselves have really bought into the coaching schemes and the next man up sort of mentality, and that's been a big key against Eastern Washington, and it will be again against James Madison.
All right, you've seen the Penguins all season long. I assume you've seen some film on James Madison, or maybe been able to watch a bit of it. What do you think?
I think either way, it's going to be really, really close, unless there's just one of those anomalies where one team turns the ball over five times in the first quarter. But if both teams play to they talk about executing their game plan. If both teams are able to do that, then I think this really comes down to like a touchdown field goal sort of game.
Do you have a prediction in mind?
God, I hate making predictions. There's going to be four quarters played, and somebody's going to lift a trophy.
Well, I'm going to go with the Penguins. I have a good feeling about it. I've had a good feeling about about this team throughout the playoffs, and I think they've really embraced the underdog role. Wolford, I think, is maybe the game that people thought, because they hadn't seen that kind of offense, that YSU might struggle. They struggled a little bit. They managed to win. I feel like something happened with this team at some point. And I can't, it's impossible for us to pinpoint exactly what that was or when it happened. But much like the 97 team when you were in second grade, something happened to this team along the way, and they started to believe. And as they said in Major League, there's only one thing left to do. And I can't really finish that quote, but I think YSU is going to do it.
I certainly wouldn't be surprised. Like you said, that they're really sort of buying in. They've bought it all year long. They've been talking about a national championship since fall camp, spring ball even. And everybody's kind of like, okay, national championship, that's just kind of what you say, I guess. But no, they're really, they're right there on the cusp, obviously. I wouldn't be surprised if it really goes either way. I think these two teams are really evenly matched.
Well, thanks, Charles. Have fun in Frisco. Wish I could join you, but got to man the ship here. And you know, as I tell our guys every time they cover a championship, bring it home.
Yep. Try and do that.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. Go Penguins.